From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and it's Friday, which means we are taking stock of the week that was. We'll get into politics a little later in the show, but we begin today in Peoria. That's where Joe Deacon is a reporter for WCBU, Peoria Public Radio. Joe, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me today.
So Peoria recently became the biggest city in Illinois, if I have that right, to pass a ban on public camping. This is how people are talking about these laws that are really aimed at removing homeless encampments. When does it take effect? How is this going to work?
Well, that's a good question. There's still some uncertainty as to how it's going to work. It's a complex issue that's actually dated back several months. But the ordinance was just passed on November 19th, and the city officials said it when it was passed that it would take them 30 days to before they could even begin to start implementing and enacting these bans and going to the campsites to abate them. But like I said, it was originally considered back in August in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision on Grants Pass case in Oregon that allowed municipalities to enact bans like this. And when they brought it up in August, there was some pushback and some outcry from social service ordinances. So they tabled it at the time to kind of get some more guidance and impact, and then brought it back up in November. And it still only passed on a split vote, a 6-5 vote. Mayor Rita Ali was one of those in opposition, and she's vowed not to actually sign the ordinance. That's really just a symbolic gesture. She doesn't really have veto power, so the ordinance still does go into effect. But it's unclear how exactly this is all going to play out and what kind of impact it's going to have on the unsheltered individuals who have been staying in these camps.
So you talked to one of the Peoria council members. What did he have to say?
So it was when I first came up in August, as I said, it seemed like there was some dividedness on the board, but it seemed like more of them were kind of uneasy about the act at first. And then one of the council members, Tim Riggenbach, when it came up to a vote, he had actually kind of switched his stance on it, and he felt that part of the reason he supported it in this way is because of the way the city adopted approach where it's not going to be police going out and just, you know, chasing people out of these camps initially. It's going to be the community development people that go in and first kind of try and work with the individuals and try and help them access service initially. And it's going to be a gradual thing before it gets to a point of issuing citations and fines and jail time. And so that's why he reversed his position. When it came up at this most recent meeting, there were actually two potential ordinances on the table, one that would have had just fines as a penalty and one that would have fines ultimately potentially leading up to a jail time for multiple violations. And the one with the potential jail time is the one that did wind up passing.
So the more harsh one. You mentioned some of the organizations that were in opposition to this. Are they still opposed? How has that evolved over the months?
I've talked to a couple since then. They're still opposed. They want to try and find a way to work through it and see. But I talked to the executive director of Jolt Foundation, which is a harm reduction and advocacy group here in town, and he even called it short-sighted and draconian. The executive director, Kate Green, of the Home for All Continuum of Care, that kind of collaborates all these organizations together, she said that, you know, ordinances like this don't really work. All they do is they criminalize the status of homelessness, and it kind of then drives people away and makes it harder for the outreach teams to access these individuals and help them access, guidance, assistance, things like that.
Where are people who are living? One of the reasons we've talked about this on the show with other people in the past, one of the reasons that people do tend to sort of go to these camps is they perceive safety in numbers. You know, where are people expected to go now if these sort of group sites are taken down and blocked off?
Yeah, that's the big question. Where they're going to go is kind of on the air. And I talked to one homeless individual shortly after the ban was passed, and his name's Seth Phillips. He's been on the streets for about a year now. I think I even shared a clip with you, but he just says, you know, especially with the winter months coming up, they don't know what's going to happen. That they're afraid that some of these people, you know, might not just make it. So exactly how this is all going to play out is still kind of concerned. Like I said, Kate Green says that it's going to be kind of push people further away from assistance. And so, you know, who knows exactly what's going to happen. But where these tents are located, the primary two sites they're going to address first are right along the right-of-way along Interstate 74, it's Illinois Department of Transportation's right-of-way, in the downtown area. And that was part of the impetus for getting this passed, because the city of Peoria didn't have any, you know, authority to enact a ban on property that they didn't own, because they were using the state's trespass law before to kind of enact something like this in various locations, but they couldn't do that on the IDOT property. And so that's why they've now passed this ban to give them a chance to clear the camps that are on, that are right along the interstate.
You know, we do actually, yeah, let's, I think it's still worth listening to that tape. This is Seth Phillips, a homeless individual who shared his view on this.
Not everybody's going to make it, I don't think. They're either going to end up in jail or they're going to end up taking their own lives, because they've already got the world on their shoulders, and it's hard. It's hard. And just to have the mental strength to keep going, like tomorrow's another day, not everybody's going to make it, man.
It's been brutally cold these past couple of days. I mean, are there... It's interesting timing, right? Doing this in the middle of December. I mean, if one was cynical, one could say right before Christmas, too. How are people responding to that?
Yeah, that's another issue that was brought up to me by the members of these outreach teams and social agencies, that, you know, if we're going to do it now, one thing that was brought up before the council is maybe wait 180 days or 90 days before, you know, enforcing it to kind of get through this time period. But ultimately, they stuck with going with 30 days to get it implemented. And yeah, as you hear in Seth's voice there, there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of you know, uncertainty, apprehension about what this is going to mean. And, you know, now with, as you mentioned earlier, Peoria being the largest city in the state, and this is something that's kind of been common around here. I mean, we've seen Pekin and Morton and East Peoria, Delavan, those communities have also either enacted new bans or reinforced bans they've already had in place. And so it's, there's not many places for people to go right now. The shelters, their capacity fluctuates, and it's often not going to meet the need. So it's tough.
Well, okay, let's just, we can wrap on this point by, you mentioned that I think it's what, a month you said between the vote and when it actually, so it's December 19th is when it's taking effect. What do we understand about the city's next move? The mayor's opposed, the ordinance is there. How does this play out, or what are the possibilities of how it can play out? I know we can't predict the future, but
yeah, it's tough to say. The director of the community development department says, again, they're going to begin the first approach they go to when they go to tents is not to issue a citation. It's to kind of let people know that the ban is in place, the camping is not allowed anymore, and to try and encourage them to find services, help them in finding services. And then it would be, you know, another few days after that, if it was a repeat, they would then begin starting with, you know, potentially issuing citations and fines. And the fines would start out at like between $150 and $250. Obviously, this is funds that these people wouldn't have. You know, multiple violations, a third violation within 100 days, the fine could go up to $750. And then could eventually end in a jail term of up to 6 months. But again, the city people, the councilman I spoke to said this rarely gets used with the current state trespass ban. So they're not convinced that it will actually get to a point where people are getting jailed.
All right, let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation today. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're beginning, as we do most Fridays, with a look at some of the stories that have made news in different parts of Illinois. Today, we're focusing on Peoria with Joe Deacon, a reporter at Peoria Public Radio, WCBU. Let's move on to some business-related stories. You have been working on a story about the Peoria City Council pursuing a land-based casino. I don't know what Peoria is like. There are other cities in Illinois that have, you know, so many slot machines. That's like there are already dozens of casinos all over these cities. But this is, I gather, a little more glorious is something that people are pursuing there. What's that about?
Yeah, so this is kind of, again, something that's kind of been under the weeds a little bit. East Peoria has had a riverboat casino for more than 30 years now. It's the Paradise Casino. It's currently owned by a company called Boyd Gaming. When Boyd went to the Illinois Gaming Board back earlier this year, they kind of indicated that they were going to present a new casino facility project plan within the next year or two. So back when this when the casino was first brought into Illinois, here in central Illinois here, there was an intergovernmental agreement reached between Peoria and East Peoria. And part of that intergovernmental agreement states that in the event there was ever a land-based casino in this region, it would have to be within Peoria city limits. So now that Boyd has expressed this desire to move possibly from the riverboat, the city of Peoria is now going to try and work with an investment consultant and a legal consultant to help them pursue potentially moving the casino from the riverboat in East Peoria to a land-based site in within city limits of Peoria. And so they're wondering what kind of pushback there may be from their neighbor just on the other side of the river. So it's this vote will come to contract with these services. That vote will come on Tuesday, and then see where it goes from there. It still may be a couple years before any of this all shakes out, though.
Yeah, as is often the story with these community development initiatives. All right, moving on to another story you worked on, and we're going to be talking a little later in the show about a different but related issue, but you talk with members of Peoria's LGBTQ community about how they are sort of feeling and preparing for another Trump presidency. What did they have to say?
They expressed, much like the homeless people in the first part of the story, they expressed a lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. You know, the main concern many of them brought up is access to health care, like gender affirming care, and other things like that. Others, some of the organizations have been concerned about potential cuts in funding. But their biggest concern is just how this may embolden those who already have expressed hatred toward LGBTQ individuals to kind of act on that. So they're very cautious. They're very anxious. It's how this all plays out with the new administration is it's got their attention for sure.
All right, I'll tell listeners, stay tuned. In a few minutes, we'll be talking with a reporter about trans community specifically, about how they are thinking about the months and years ahead. This is a sort of practical news. I appreciated this story because I pay close attention to gas prices as I go around, and I will sort of strategically decide when and where to fill up, because I've seen prices vary by as much as 30 to 50 cents in the same city within the last month or so. But you spoke with Patrick DeHaan, who's made this sort of niche for himself as America's go-to gas price expert. I paid $2.75 a gallon the other day in Springfield. What did he have to say about the sort of bigger picture gas price forecast?
Well, the bigger picture, and he kind of calls it seasonal, you know, with the winter months coming up, there's less demand, less people driving, so the supply and the price kind of comes down a little bit. And, you know, the national average actually dipped below $3 on Monday for the first time in 3 years. And so it always comes down a little bit close to $3, but it actually got down to $2.99 on Monday. Last time it'd been there, it was May of 2021. So it's going to, you know, with the winter blend of gasoline and the supply of that, the price is going to hover around this, may come down a little bit more. In Peoria area, it was, the average was around $3.11 to start the week, and we know we see the prices change daily. One of the big things is they point out that Illinois has high gasoline taxes, and that kind of keeps Illinois above the $3 mark when all the neighboring states are fairly below $3 right now. But there's a window now between now and February where, you know, prices could hover right around that $3 mark or dip below it until the summer blends start to come back into stations in mid to late February. One thing to watch, he said, though, would be if the Trump administration were to put tariffs on Canadian oil, that could, of course, spike prices a bit.
Well, what interesting times we live in. All right, just about a minute left. Minor league hockey, we'll turn to sports, and now it's time for sports. They've recommitted to Peoria. What was the story there?
So, yeah, the Peoria Rivermen have been here for quite some time. They're a fixture and one of the main tenants at the Peoria Civic Center. They had a lease that had expired kind of over a year ago. They've gone maybe year to year the past couple years, but they've been looking for a long-term agreement to stay at the Civic Center. That was part of a city had approved $20 million funding package for the Civic Center to do a ton of necessary upgrades they needed at the facility. And the desire there was to make sure that eventually they got into a long-term agreement with the Rivermen to keep them here for another 5 years. And that deal was finally reached about a month ago. And so the team is going to play. The one thing is that they need a new system that keeps the ice cold. The ice plant system at the Civic Center is outdated, and it needs to be replaced. And that's a major project and an expensive project. And so that's going to have to be part of it. They're looking like hopefully getting that done sometime maybe in the summer of 2026. But regardless, the Rivermen do have an agreement to stay in Peoria for five more years.
All right, Joe Deacon, reporter with WCBU, thanks for your time. And more to come here on the 21st Show after a short break. Stay with us.